two-hour show going over everything in the world of sports, and we are the first to jump on the brackets. We're going to fill out our brackets live on the air. I have tried all day long to try to avoid looking at the actual brackets themselves, so we're going to get into it live, live reactions on the air. I'm Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Tim Unglesby is with me, and we are in studio together, Tim. It's been a very long time. I've seen you this week, but it's been a very long time since we've been sitting side by side in studio and talking to the masses. I can't wait to get into it. I want to get your opinion on the brackets. We'll fill out the brackets live. Who was left out is always a major, major discussion, but it's also who was put in and where they were put in, which is really more impactful. Let's be honest. Look, there's some of the teams that are left out. They were never going to do big damage in the tournament anyway, but where teams are slotted really can impact it. And we talked about last night, how you didn't want UConn and North Carolina in the same bracket. That would have been in the East. It would have been tough. Okay, so we'll get into all things college basketball. Give you a couple of opening lines. We'll touch on a couple of early feels. The games begin. We also have a little NIT action. And UNLV did accept a bid to the NIT against, I think I could say this with full and complete authority here. You guys have the best Ivy League handicapper in the country and clearly the best in Las Vegas on the air. They're playing an Ivy League team, so we'll break that game down as well. And I do want to save a little bit of time at the end of the show. We talked about the NFL last night. I want to get your reaction, being a Baltimore fan, about Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh, because last night it got away from us because I got real emotional, man. Look, I'm still annoyed at the situation. I think Pittsburgh made out tremendously. So, Tim, how was your day? Where did you watch the brackets? How did it go down, for you? Is this a ritual for you to watch the brackets? I know guys, they got to refresh their computer a million times. Some people just watch the show. How do you go about the brackets?
Well, first of all, Tommy, it's been over 4 years since you and I have done a show live in a studio together.
Pre-COVID.
That's the only reason I know is that, as I said a couple weeks ago when we did the Super Bowl recap show, I haven't been back in the studio until this year, so it's been over 4 years, and the OGs are back together. I know you were here last night, but the OGs, me and you, are here together. Year 14 of Heatwave Sports with Tim and Tom.
And Tim, this is a audio medium. It's not a visual medium.
Yeah.
But after 4 years plus, I'm a little grayer. I'm a little older. You look exactly the same.
Thank you. You
literally. When I got off the plane, I saw. I said, "Geez." Okay, Tim hasn't changed. You haven't gained an ounce. You haven't gotten gray hair. He hasn't lost anything. You look exactly the same.
Thank you. I will ride that out as long as I can. Trust me, my man. To answer your question, I do it at home I do it at home every year. I sit there on the couch just like we got Major League Baseball opening day coming up. I'm going to be right there. My butt imprint is in the cushion. And I just sit there and watch it. I used to watch the ESPN one over the CBS one because I like the guys on ESPN, but I guess they don't do it anymore. So I was CBS bound today. And like you said, it's interesting to see how this, in parentheses, committee, Tom, seeds these teams and puts them in brackets and where each team lies. And like you said, we're going to look at every matchup. And then we're going to predict who our national champion, Final Four national champion is going to be. And we're the first ones to do it, Tom. First ones locally to do it. Obviously, nationally, there's a lot on the East Coast, but West Coast, we're kind of in that boat as well. So I always like getting our thoughts out there first. That way, everybody locally can copy that and talk about it on their shows tomorrow. Right, Angel?
Well, that's going to happen. And give no credit, by the
way. Zero credit.
Zero credit.
Just give us a little love sometimes, please.
Yeah, that's all we need. Hey, I heard this. You don't have to name our names. Hey, I heard this on the show last night.
That show.
Yeah, that show last night.
That show.
So, yeah, look, I didn't want to look at the brackets because I wanted to do it live on the air. If I was at home, I would have avoided it, probably taken a little nap before time, It was hard not to look at the brackets because I'm always on social media and I'm checking it all out. You guys can hit us up at HW Sports or at Tom Barton Sports over on the X and Twitter over there. And I didn't really check out the brackets, and I want the immediate reaction. So as we go through this, understand, number one, major subject to change because this is my first eyes on a bracket all day. That's number one. Number two is that we'll walk you through it. I'm going to walk you through the process that I'm getting to. I'm going to walk you through how I get there. And Tim, you're going to walk us through how you get to where we're going.
You might be able to convince me to get off of a player. I might be able to convince you. This is how we're going to start it off. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Right, Tim?
Ready when you are, sir.
All right, let's start it off. UConn Stetson, it's been a nice run for the Hatters. UConn is the number one overall seed. They should be the number one overall seed. I think that it is the strongest conference in America as far as top heavy. We absolutely had UConn, Marquette, and Creighton all could be Final Four teams. UConn, number one seed. They should get the number one seed. They are in the East bracket. They're basically playing home games all the way until the Final Four. I mean, at this point, it's can Stetson keep it within 30? And I'm not sure. So UConn moving on.
Correct.
Okay.
Nothing else needs to be said there, Tom.
No.
Not defending champion, looking to repeat. So, look, they were very, other than the one game early in the tournament, they were dominant in their own Big East tournament. And that's scary, thinking about what they possess coming into a situation back-to-back. You talk about a target, right? There's a target there, and I don't think they're worried about it.
Well, I love the fact that going into the championship, tournament championships, we were talking about it, and you said to me, so we're going on UNC, UConn tomorrow, right, the number ones, and I think we talked about Houston.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but the problem is, you know, none of them have anything to play for, really. They're all still going to be one seeds. Houston lost, Purdue lost, UNC lost, and they're still number one seeds. Guess who won?
Yeah.
UConn. Didn't need the game. They, more than anybody, still was going to be a number one seed. Didn't need the game. They were still number one overall. They absolutely would have just continued to be number one overall. They didn't win that game, Tim. They actually won by 16 points. They crushed them. UConn is absolutely going for me. Next up, FAU Northwestern in an 8-9 matchup. Look, I think that this is nice. I think the 8-9 is nice. FAU is here. Largely based on what they did last year. I don't think they deserve to go this year. I don't think that they should be in the tournament. We will get into snubs after we do our brackets. I don't think that they deserve to be here. I have to lean Northwestern. I mean, look, it's a toss-up. Would it surprise me if FAU won? No. It's a toss-up. But I'm going Northwestern because I think that FAU is leaning on what they did last year.
The 8-9s are generally toss-up games. And like you said, we'll get into another 8-9 or a 9. I think they're a 9. We'll get into that. Chris Wynn here in a little bit. And that's going to lead into a nice little segment on why Michigan State should not be in this tournament. But speaking in this 8-9, I like FAU. I like their coach, Dusty. Last name escapes my mind right now, so I'm being unprofessional. I'm sorry, but I like the coach there. I don't. This may be his swan song, Tommy. With all these job openings, he may go to a bigger and better gig for himself. I saw them earlier this year over at the T-Mobile against Arizona, a game they won, and I think they're dangerous because, look, like a lot what you said, yes, Final Four team, great story, right, Tom? But this year was kind of rocky for them. They play an easier schedule, obviously, in the conference they're in. But I think sitting there, they're dangerous. Are they dangerous enough to beat UConn? I don't think so, but I like them a little bit over Northwestern. I wasn't a big Ten guy this year. I think for whatever reason – that conference didn't impress me, and the way that they just kind of pulled up lame in this tournament, and maybe it was Wisconsin just being on a run that knocked them out, but I lean towards FAU myself. So.
Mountain West, San Diego State got a 5. Last night, I thought it was crazy when Chris said maybe it was going to be a 5. I think that they are way overseeded for a team that didn't win their regular season title, didn't win their conference title. I think a 5 is ridiculous. I think if you take away your Mountain West bias, the listeners out there that I'm accusing randomly of bias, but the people that out there that are listening, that if you have Mountain West bias, give me another team in the country that didn't win their championship game, didn't win their championship tournament, and has the best seed in the conference. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's because San Diego State's a name. Now take on UAB. UAB had a nice season. This is a 5-12, Tim. You know, everyone's going to be on UAB. Everyone's going to love UAB. UAB's a good team. They're a team that could run. They're a team that they got into some trouble today, and the Temple came back. And then they pulled away late, and they showed exactly who they were. I'm buying into San Diego State here a little bit. Just enough to get by UAB. I don't buy into that they should be a 5 seed. I think they got very, very lucky here. I think they got screwed in their own Mountain West tournament having to play UNLV first. and they get very lucky in the big tournament. I'm going San Diego State because I know the talent that they have. They are not last year's team. Don't confuse them for that. They are a different team, and they're a very flawed team, a very flawed team. But I think they have enough to get by UAB, even in a 5-12 matchup.
I'm with you. I like the Aztecs as well. Mind you, this was the 18th overall seed, Tom, in the
ridiculous.
Whole tournament.
Ridiculous.
18th overall seed, but a 5-5 seed in their own in another region. And oh, by the way, if you were paying attention, three of the last year's Final Four teams are all in the East bracket, and they all play in the top portion of it. Coincidental? I think not. But
yeah. UConn gets the number one seed. Not to cut you off, but UConn gets the number one seed, Tim, in their bracket by getting the number one seed in their bracket. Big Ten championship winner.
Yeah.
Big 12 championship winner. They're the Big East championship winner. I mean, it's kind of obscene. And you know, you look at this and you go, it's still the number one bracket. But as we get into it, Purdue is the real number one seed. I mean, they have it. So you go to San Diego State. What about Auburn, Yale? Auburn could be interesting. Okay, Auburn's a team that runs. They can score on anybody. Auburn, you saw Bruce Pearl and what he, how much he wanted it. The kid from Florida falls down, breaks his leg. Where you hear the snap. The crowd is crazy. That everyone's gasping. There's an ominous tone. What does Bruce Pearl do? Full court press at that moment. Look, I'm not getting down on him for it. Yeah. It just shows you, you have the ability to step on someone's neck. You do it, and Bruce Pearl has that. Yale comes in as a flawed team. They should not be here. Yale should not have beaten Brown in that game. They were outscored 8-1. Brown was in the last 21 seconds. They couldn't hit a free throw. They missed three of the last four free throws, including two. That could have finished the game with 3 seconds to go. Yale shouldn't be here, but Yale still has the Ivy League's best player. They still have the best defensive player in the Ivy Leagues on that team. They are a talented team, but Auburn is absolutely rolling. If you wanted to make a case right now that Auburn's a Final Four team, I'm with you. I love the 4-13 matchups. I love taking Ivy Leagues. I love to go against it. I can't do it in this matchup. I can't do it in the East. I'm going chalk again.
Oh, yeah, it's Auburn. And like you said, the old trend, where Tommy, was you take the 12s and the 13s, and it may play out as we go through this bracket. If you're going to bet, and you've said this every year, basically, if you bet on every 12 and every 13, he promises you're going to make money somewhere, right?
Always.
And we'll see how it goes. But in this bracket, we're going fours and fives. I like Auburn, too. There's just I'm with you on Yale. Shouldn't be there. And again, had they lost this game, our discussion of who really got screwed getting in this tournament would be a lot bigger. But Yale doesn't deserve to be there, I agree. And Auburn should advance pretty easily.
BYU, Duquesne. Duquesne, what a season. I mean, what a season coming out of nowhere. I work with Josh Taylor in Pittsburgh, who does the Duquesne games. And I don't think even he saw this coming. This was a big one. But BYU, one of those interesting teams, Tim. When they lost, they hit seven threes. When they won the day before, they hit 14. They are the best shooting team in the country. The best. I don't think it's debatable. But when you're the best shooting team in the country, you could go cold at times. This is a real upset spot. I don't have the guts to do it because I think BYU will hit those shots. But this is a real upset shot. If BYU comes out cold, Tim, Duquesne's moving on.
I like BYU. I like the Cougars here. First year in the Big 12. Impressive. They were impressive. When you look at the seeding, I think, again, as a six, it's kind of overlooked. And I know, and actually, like you said, the bigger story is Duquesne in this game. And I think that plays to an advantage of BYU. Overlooked going into the Big 12. They had a solid, solid season against the tough conference. I think they win this one as well. I'm with you on that. So far, we're...
Chalk.
Yeah.
Chalk.
I mean, 8-9 is really a coin flip. So we're all in on the top seeds right now.
Illinois, Morehead State. Look, we all love Morehead. Ba-dum-bump. But I might like them plus the points, to be honest with you. I know we're not talking spreads quite yet, but the plus 13 points, I might like them with that. Got to go Illinois. I'm going more chalk there. And then it gets a little interesting for me. You're going Illinois as well?
Yeah.
All right. Here's where it gets interesting. I'm taking Drake to go against Washington State. I know, again, it's not a huge leap here. I think the spread's 1.5. But I do like the 10 seed Drake. I said that before the tournament I would be riding Drake. They got a very, very easy. I think the Pac-12 is garbage, pure garbage. I don't believe in Washington State at all. I think this is a beautiful draw for Jake and for Drake in the first round. I like Drake, and then I got Iowa State finishing it off in a very chalky East.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as well. I think Washington State, for as good as the season ended up being for them, they're overseeded. Is that the correct word right there? A seven in a bad conference,
right?
Yeah. So Drake and Iowa State, of course, the two will not lose to the 15 this year. So
no,
not there.
So let's move on to the next round. We'll finish up the East here, and then we can take our break if we need to. So we're both going UConn next against the 8-9. I got him against Northwestern. You have him against FAU. You going UConn there?
UConn.
Okay, well, UConn moving on. San Diego State, Auburn.
I'm going to go Auburn. It's not the same. Look, if you're thinking San Diego State's going to go on this magical run like last year, it's not the same team. And as much as we loved watching Lede play, you need more than that against an Auburn team, and it's good. The story ends for San Diego State there.
BYU Illinois. Do you have BYU out shooting Illinois? Which they can look. BYU is that team. If you tell me that they're losing to the Dukes, I'm going. I buy it. If you want to tell me that they're going, you know, to the Elite Eight, I could buy that too because of their shooting.
As much as I crapped on the Big Ten a few minutes ago, the top of the Big Ten is solid.
So yeah,
Illinois over BYU,
and then Iowa State over Drake.
Correct.
All right, so let's get down to it. Now we're having some fun. We went very chalky, okay? We got the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed. We were very, very chalky here. UConn, Auburn. UConn is the best team in the country. I've said that they're the best team in the country. Auburn is the type of team that could frustrate them. Bruce Pearl is the type of coach that could frustrate them. But I am going UConn. I think they are still the best team in the country. Best team in the country is not losing in the Sweet 16.
I'm with UConn as well. I like Hurley. I think he's proven to be obviously the better brother coach, right? a lot like his dad. If you follow his dad's career in high school, he's a lot like his dad, where Bobby, I think, is not coach-wise. Bruce Pearl, like you just look, Bruce Pearl can get you to Sweet 16 generally. Just not past that for me. So I like UConn, yeah.
Illinois, Iowa State. The world seemed to be on Iowa State. Yesterday, we were talking that maybe Iowa State should get a one seed. Their defense is fantastic. Their defense showed out against Houston. I'm not making too much of that game because it's Houston's offense that is bad. I like Illinois here. I think where you didn't like the Big Ten this year, and I didn't like the Big Ten overly this year, I didn't like the Big 12. I know that they're very good. I don't think that they're this otherworldly team conference, and I don't think that this is a team that you should just automatically move on. I'm taking Illinois in an upset. So very chalky, but look, Illinois is a 3. It's not a huge upset, but I'm right. Taking Illinois.
Same wavelength here. I believe Iowa State is not as strong as Illinois when it comes down to it. And not a big upset, Tom, but we'll go with the 3 seed to move on to the final 8.
All right, who's going to the Final Four? UConn as a 1 seed, Illinois as a 3 seed. I've said it endlessly. I will continue to repeat myself. UConn is the best team in the country. They may stumble along the way. If they are up against a very hot shooting BYU team, maybe they stumble. If Iowa State got there, maybe they have the game of their defense of their life. Maybe. Maybe Bruce Pearl could do it. Maybe. There's a lot of maybes there, Tim. What I do know is that UConn, from the opening tip of last year, the opening tip this year, opening tip in the Big East play, opening tip in the Big East tournament, they have been the best team in every scenario that I just mentioned. Why would they not make it to the Final Four? You're finding reasons to not put them in, and I don't find any reasons.
You can't base yourself off maybes, right, Tom? Maybe this happens, maybe that happens. Well, for sure is UConn is the best. In my opinion, they've been the best team all year. Not Houston. And if you want to beat the defending champs, it's going to take quite the game. Put them in the Final Four for me, Tom.
Can we go through the West before we take our break? Let's go to the West. Okay, so UConn in the Final Four. We are very chalky so far. It's going to get better. UNC, Howard, it's not going to get better. or Wagner. By the way, the playing game, Howard Wagner. I have Howard moving on, maybe. I don't know. I won't be betting on the game. I'll watch it. Maybe Howard. Doesn't matter. They're fodder for UNC. UNC coming off of a loss, guys, to NC State with the eyes on the prize. This is one of those games where, Tim, if you're telling me right now blindly UConn minus 30, I'm taking UConn. I mean, anything under that, it doesn't matter. I think UConn puts on a clinic. humiliates the team that has to play the play-in game. Everything is setting up for that first round. Everybody jump on the favorite there. North Carolina. They should absolutely spank whoever they go up against, Wagner or Howard.
Yeah, there's not going to be an upset here. North Carolina.
What's the line?
24-25?
I'm hoping. I'll be unloading on that because look, UConn, I keep saying UConn. North Carolina is coming off of that loss, man. They're embarrassed. You heard the players after that. They were not happy about that. Yeah, absolutely. How about Michigan State, Mississippi State? This is an interesting one because we're going to get into later in the show who got left out. And one of the reasons why I'm annoyed about who got left out is because Michigan State doesn't belong here. They flat out don't belong. There's no argument that can be made that is a logistical, logical argument. I made this talked about with Chris Wynn last night. Nothing logically says that Michigan State should be here. They have 14 losses. That should eliminate them immediately. Immediately. If the guy's name was not Tom Izzo that was running the show, they wouldn't be. Forget about first. They might not make the NIT. I mean, no, absolutely not. Michigan State doesn't belong here. But I'm picking Michigan State to move on because they are here. And it doesn't validate that they shouldn't be here because they didn't earn to get here. But they are here. And because they are here, I'm going to pick them to move on. I like the setup of a UNC-Michigan State matchup.
Tom Izzo is literally one of the last blue blood coaches, right? The original guys that we grew up watching. As we see each year, one more drops out, and Izzo will probably be one of the next coaches to retire. So I think he gets a little bit of a push from this older committee. I'm not going with you on that one, Tom. It seems like the 8-9s have been the for where we differ a little bit here on the coin flip game. I like Mississippi State coming out of a strong SEC versus a 19-14 win. Michigan State coming out of a weak Big 10. And I know, like you said, we're going to talk about the snubs, so I'll save a little more of my Michigan State hatiness for later.
Here we go. I told you it's going to get interesting, Tim. St. Mary's, who Chris sat here yesterday and said St. Mary's could make a run. I agreed with him that they could make a run. But I don't like what I watched when they had the national TV game at home. They were the higher seed and they couldn't beat Gonzaga. Now, I know they went out and won games after that. That taste sits on my mouth, but this is maybe the worst potential matchup for them. It is a 5-12, and I'm loving it. I like Grand Canyon anyway. I think they're a very underrated school. I like that Grand Canyon can beat St. Mary's at the thing that we've watched Gonzaga beat them with. I think that this is a Grand Canyon win. I'm moving on with Grand Canyon. St. Mary's, look, you can burn me, and good for you if you do, but I'm going Grand Canyon.
I like the 5-seed. St. Mary's. I'm not going to judge. My last impression is not going to be Gonzaga running them off the court over at the Orleans Arena down the street. I think St. Mary's has had a wonderful season. Randy Bennett. Talk about, again, I mean, we could literally have a show, Tom, on idiotic, stupid coaching decisions that the Rebel administration here at UNLV has made. Randy Bennett, another guy that could have come here and retired here and had a lasting impression. Look what he's done there. Guy's name's always in the mix, right? He doesn't want to leave. That's the kind of guy you want. Anyways, off the tirade of UNLV. Well, I like St. Mary's.
Alabama, Charleston. I'm taking Charleston. Knocking off Bama. Yep, really? And I told you, surprises are coming.
Upset.
I said to you, and I will say this, Alabama's defense is pure, it's just pathetic. It's just not, everyone's looking at Kentucky's defense and they're making fun of Kentucky's defense, right? Because Kentucky giving up 109 points. Alabama's just as bad. You can't go in and just roll out the ball and expect. Charleston's going to play good. I've watched them play quite a few times this year. They are a good, solid team. They don't make mistakes. And Alabama has the ability to shoot them out of the gym, but you know they're giving up points. The over-under for this game is 170. Okay, it'll tell you something, guys. Charleston's going to be close. They're going to be in that. And if they are close, we know this about the tournament, especially the first round of the tournament. If you're the underdog and you're close, that favorite starts to get real nervous. Alabama looked nervous ending the season. Alabama looked nervous in their conference tournament games. Alabama knows that their defense isn't up to snuff. I'm taking Charleston.
Still no upsets for me, Tom. I like Bama. 90 points a game, man. You got to stop that.
Giving up. 85.
But that you get a win there. I mean, we're not talking about covering, right? No, we're just talking about winning. Yeah. Can Charleston go Number one, can they slow them down? And if they cannot, can they go shot for shot with them? I don't think they can.
Clemson, New Mexico. Here we go, another Mountain West. New Mexico would not have been in the dance. This is when they get an 11 seed, they would not have been in had they not beaten and won the Mountain West tournament. That's what we are seeing here. They did win it. They get an 11 seed against Clemson. This is a good game. The ACC is down this year. Okay, it's evident. The ACC used to be a 9-bid league. Now, you know, they're 3-4 at this point. Clemson, though, has the size advantage. Look, New Mexico is a good team, but what we watched with New Mexico is that you can beat them underneath. And Ladie is a guy that he abused them when he wanted to. Clemson can do that underneath the basket. This is an upset alert because I do think New Mexico can win. Clemson can beat them under the basket, though, Tim. If they go with that approach, underneath the basket, bang it inside, I think Clemson wins this game. But, Tim, I like the fortitude. I like the spread-out play of New Mexico. I like the fact that they can shoot from the outside. I like the idea that they didn't, you know, lose their head when they got teed up. I liked all of the things that I saw in New Mexico. Maybe it's recency bias because I was sitting inches away from where what I just watched.
Yeah,
I'm taking New Mexico here. I know Clemson could beat them inside, but I'm taking New Mexico.
New Mexico's on a hell of a run right now, and that's something you have to watch hot teams going into tournaments, right? Same thing with the hot teams coming into the conference tournaments. How did they do? Well, I mean, a lot of them did well. So where do you – here? I think for me it basically comes down to a good internal argument that we've had in our group, the Heatwave family, is where you value the Mountain West Conference. And for as many of our friends, Chris Wynn, that wants to say that they deserve the six teams in there, I don't agree with that. I think at best they were a four-team bid conference. They got them all.
They were saying that all year.
Yeah, they got all six in though, right? But as you and I discussed, where did they get them in? Well, two of them are in playing games. One's an 11 seed that won the tournament. Yeah,
the committee does not believe in the Mountain West.
Right. They're there, and the Mountain West has generally never performed well as a whole in the NCAA tournament. Clemson, you said it, ACC's down, it's been down. I think they just play a tougher schedule because really what it comes down to is—
And they could go inside.
They're big boys.
Yeah.
And you know what? Mountain West basically beat up on each other, right? And then they beat up on the bottom. We saw the Air Forces and the Wyomings and the who's the other three? Fresno States in this conference. And you're talking about having close games with – no. I like Clemson here. I just think overall they're a better team. Nice story for Patino. New Mexico, they got a couple – with House and a couple sons of Mashburn Jr., right? A couple sons of former NBA players. I think it's – what he's done is remarkable to bring New Mexico back from – they used to be solid every year, and then they just went into the dumps. I like to watch that story, but I just think it's not this isn't the game for them, Tom.
Tim, I have chaos so far. I have a 12, 11, a 12, and a 13 in the West. I told you chaos was coming. Baylor Colgate. Again, I'm down on the Big 12. And I'm loving these underdogs. I like Colgate. I like what they do. I like Colgate. I made a lot of money on Colgate this year. Take a Colgate, baby.
Okay.
I have an 11, a 12, a 13, and a 14 in this bracket. I told you it was going to get crazy. I really do like Colgate. This is a team I watched all year. It was not a team that I was saying, I'm taking them over anybody. I think Baylor is one of those up-and-down teams. When Baylor's hot, when they are red hot, they could probably win this whole thing. But they're not red hot right now. They've looked off for a couple of games. I'll take Colgate.
Are you putting any money line situation here on Colgate?
I'm going to money line 11, 12, and 13.
Parlay that?
No.
Okay.
Parlay that for a new house.
The parlay word.
Parlay that for a new house. No. Yeah. But I will take it.
I like Baylor. I agree with what you're saying. They've looked very lackluster, but something tells me that they turn on a little bit here in this first one.
Dayton, Nevada.
Nevada.
Nevada. Dayton, Nevada. Look, I thought Dayton was going to be the team. I thought that they were going to be the team to maybe, you know, be that 12 or that 13. I can't believe they're a 7. They have no quad one wins. They just don't. The Wolfpack are an interesting team because they had sicknesses, they had injuries, they've never been, you know what I mean, a complete team this year. There's 101 excuses. Here's the thing. They're going to be healthy. Thursday, Friday, whenever they play, they're going to be healthy. I don't think Dayton's that good. I think that Dayton is a paper tiger. When you break down their record and you see what they've beaten and who they've beaten or lack thereof, I'm going with the Wolfpack here. Again, I ripped the Mountain West last night, and I got three of them winning in the first round.
Yeah. I literally just ripped them 2 minutes ago, and I like Nevada here. And for as much as I went, Tommy, from transitioning, and longtime Heatwave listeners will remember this, I was the original SEC ball washer with Alabama football. Now I'm, Tim, if you like Nevada so much, why don't you move to Reno instead of crapping on the Rebels all the time? I spit the facts, man. That's what it is. And if you can't handle what I'm saying, you're more than welcome to not listen. But you listen because you agree deep down, don't you? And you know, Steve Alford is the guy there as long as he wants to be. And when he wants to move on, he's gone. But they've always been able to replace coaches, Trent Johnson, Musselman. They've always been able to bring these guys in that have done well there. And you're right about Dayton. I don't like what I see. Nevada's just sneaky. And so what, they got beat in the first? It was a bad match. Colorado State was a bad matchup for them in the Mountain West tournament, second round. This is not a bad matchup for them, in my opinion. And I'll take the 10 over the 7. And it's not quite, I don't think it's a big upset. I just feel that Nevada's the better team, better coach. And they're playing closer to home. I think this is a Salt Lake City game. I like them in that matchup.
Finally, Arizona against the fighty Dan Monsons. I said last night, I'm taking Dan. I'm taking him. And then I looked at it and I said, I can't take him over Arizona. Look, I think this is a perfect setup for me, but I have total chaos. Yeah, I have complete chaos. I have a 10, 11, a 12, or a 13. Why would I not just take a 15 here, right? Why would I not? Arizona, I'm down on. I bet against Arizona in every bracket I've ever filled out. I never have faith in them. I think the Pac-12 is garbage this year. I think Long Beach State has a legitimate thing to fight for. I think that they have everything in their favor. But we watch this team up close and personal, inches away. And all we said was, wow, you know, they're going to get spanked by another, by if you get a big athletic team.
Yeah.
Arizona's big and athletic. So I think it's just a bad matchup for them. If they would have got a shooting team, you know, they would have had a chance here, but not in this matchup. Now I'm going Zona. So my chaos ends.
The Dan Monson story is wonderful. Hey, we're going to let you go after the season, but we'll let you coach the tournament, right? Because you guys aren't going to win anyways. Oh, yeah? Well, let's do this. I think, though, it would have been a better story had he been fired before the NCAA tournament started, Tom. And then you ride that momentum in.
There you go.
Unfortunately, look, Arizona's a better team, a bigger team. And really, the first game that we saw Long Beach State play against Riverside, they should have lost that game. Should have lost the final against Davis, right? Big
yes.
Second half.
Yes. Both of them.
Great story. Dan Monson, good luck to wherever you go, because he said he's not.
I actually
coaching.
Might be on Arizona in that game because everyone's talking about the Monson story.
The Monson story, it's been played or it's played out now.
Yep.
I like Zona convincingly. Let's put it that way.
UNC, I have against Michigan State. You have against Mississippi State. UNC should embarrass the most overrated coach in the history of college basketball. Tom, I don't win Izzo, but I get a lot of credit. We'll go with the team that should be here that will destroy the team that shouldn't be here in Michigan State.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, UNC moving on. I have chaos here, Tim. So I have Grand Canyon against Charleston in round two. I love it. I'm going Grand Canyon. I do believe in this team.
Wow.
This was not just that I was an anti-St. Mary's. I think it's a bad matchup. I think Grand Canyon is for real. I think Grand Canyon could give these teams a lot of fits. I like Grand Canyon moving on.
That's Drew, right?
Yeah.
Was it Bryce Drew?
Bryce Drew?
Yeah. I liked it when Danny Marley was the coach.
Tournament hero.
Yeah.
Bryce Drew.
I have Bama, St. Mary's, the 4-5. And as much as you said about Alabama and the defense being atrocious, I don't disagree with that. My thing is that to maintain a 90-point per game statistic all season long, that's impressive to me, especially in today's day and age of basketball. Here's the problem. If they go cold, that leaves them vulnerable
to the upset.
St. Mary's
got a good defense.
Right. But is it good enough to beat them? No. I like Bama.
Okay.
Moving on. Yeah.
I have now more chaos. I have New Mexico against Colgate.
Nobody has this bracket.
Nobody has this bracket. I love it. I have New Mexico against Colgate, and I'm taking New Mexico to move on. They are. You said it. They're hot. Look, I like Colgate. I do. I think that they could shoot with anybody. New Mexico is hot. They have something. They have something working for them right now. If they get by in that first round, if it is Baylor, by the way, I think they can still win that game. I like New Mexico in this spot. I can't believe I'm putting a Mountain West team into the second round going into the Sweet 16, but I am. New Mexico, yeah, their draw is very favorable to me.
Tommy's singing the praises of the Mountain West Conference now. Is that what's going on here?
That is what's going on. How much a 24-hour move can make, right?
It's all about where they place him in the bracket, my man. I have Clemson 6 against Baylor the 3. If you're going to get Baylor, I'm with Tommy. It's got to be done early. Unfortunately, I had him moving on, and now they get stronger as they move on through the tournament. So give me Baylor over Clemson. A debatable bubble team, in my opinion. I think they should be there, but it was close for me. And I think that just runs out on them here. Baylor, stronger team.
I then have UNC against Grand Canyon. The streak ends here. UNC moving on. And I have New Mexico against Arizona. I do not believe in the Pac-12. This could be a bracket where chaos exists. If I'm sitting here and Long Beach State is going to the Elite Eight, New Mexico is going to the Elite Eight, Nevada's going to the Elite Eight, Colgate's going to the Elite Eight, Clemson's going to the Elite Eight, I wouldn't be surprised, Tim. But I do have Arizona for this. I think this is the West is a chaos bracket, but I'm going UNC Zona.
Here's my upset, Tom, if you want to look at it this way. Well, I got Zona over Nevada to end the second round, so let's put it that way. So we'll move Arizona in there. I like Bama over in North Carolina.
You are real hot on this Bama team.
I am. The SEC ball washing is coming back now on the basketball side. I just think
the scoring is alarming, right?
I get it. And don't get me wrong. They go cold. They could be done in the first round against Charleston. Like you said, they go cold. They could be done against St. Mary's, who has a good defense. I just think as it moves along, they're going to be able to score. North Carolina can go, though, too. I like that to be an exciting game. I just think that I have to pick an upset somewhere, and not all four number ones are going to go. This is where I'm kind of sticking it out. I like Bama there. I like Zona over Baylor. So an Arizona team, which has not been impressive at times this season, all of a sudden finds themselves in the Elite Eight final against, in my opinion, it would be Bama-Zona. So
Tim's got Bama, little mild upset against UConn. Two teams into the Final Four. I have North Carolina. I went chalky chalk, North Carolina and UConn, but I didn't go chalk to get there. Okay, so you could call me. I'm going one against one. My bracket is a mess to get there. So don't think I'm just going chalk chalk. Let's take a quick timeout, Tim. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the first four in, and then we will get into the South and the Midwest conferences. Maybe you're going to have a little chaos at some point.
Let me say this though, Tom. I don't have Bama in the Final Four though. I have Zona knocking them out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. You have them in the Elite Eight.
Correct.
Okay.
So I have UConn Zona, which we'll get to the winner of that one. You have UConn Zona.
I have UConn North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, UNC. I went ones across the board. I always like to have two ones in, by the way. Here's a little preview what's coming up later on. I always like to have two ones in. I never like to have three. We'll see if I could stick with that. I didn't look at this other bracket. This is just how it's working out. Yep. So let's come back, talk about the first four, who's going to win those, and then we'll finish off the bracket right after this right here on Heat Wave Sports.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Ogilvie and Tom Barton.
All right, back at it. Heat Wave Sports Super Sunday night. Tim Ogilvie and Tom Barton. You're in the lavish Fox Sports Radio studios here on the campus of the Lotus Broadcast Studios. Did I do that right, guys? We are breaking down this NCAA bracket for you, Tom. Before a little time before the first hour, you wanted to hit the first four leading into the bubble bursting on some teams.
Yeah, we basically just filled out brackets without even talking about the first four because do they matter? So let's talk about that. Howard Wagner, 16-16. Yeah, they don't matter. No, not at all.
Doesn't matter who wins, right?
No, not at all. Wagner has no offense. I've only seen Howard play a handful of times this year. Montana State Grambling is interesting. I kind of like Montana State. I actually think that they're a decent team. Grambling is the favorite in that spot. Might be an underdog shot for me if I'm looking for something to sprinkle on. I don't think it's going to be a major play, but something to sprinkle on. I'll have Montana State moving on. Colorado State, Virginia. Here we go, Mountain West.
Yeah.
One of the play-ins. Just about everybody is in consensus that Michigan State does not belong. Only people that believe that Michigan State belong, Chris, are clearly biased. The other team that everybody generally is understanding doesn't belong is Virginia, okay? They're there because of the same reason that Michigan State's there. It's a lot of name recognition, okay? I still don't think Colorado State could take them down. I know that Virginia's going to score 55 points. It's going to be boring. It's going to be watching paint dry. I still don't think Colorado State could take them down. I like Colorado State. I like the game that they play. I don't think Virginia belongs in the field. I get it. I understand why that they are, and I understand all the reasons. I still just can't get myself to take Colorado State down.
I do. I like Colorado State there. All right. I'm going to jump on the Mountain West bandwagon here.
There you go. And,
you know, Chris said in many text threads we have with him that you guys are essentially crapping on my school with their 9 seed. So how can you say that? They shouldn't be a 9 seed, Chris. They should be in a play-in game, if at best.
They shouldn't be in the field.
Right. If they're not in the field, they're in a play-in game.
Wait. You want to segue, since we have a minute here, about Michigan State?
Let's do it.
Okay. Because here's my take. Virginia shouldn't have been in here.
Correct.
Michigan State shouldn't have been in here.
Correct.
We always say, if you're going to remove teams, if you're going to put teams in, you got to remove them. You know, I could make an argument for about 3 or 4 teams that, in my opinion, do not belong. Nebraska probably doesn't belong. I can make an argument for 3 or 4 teams. Michigan State is the number one, though. Teams that should be in, we've talked about Indiana State, absolutely, in my opinion, should have been in. St. John's should have been in. Seton Hall is the team, though. Mm-hmm. And South Florida. Guys, right now, South Florida is ranked 24 in the country. Right now.
Yeah.
South Florida is ranked 24 in the country. They didn't make the field of 68. Okay, so it'll tell you something. I think Princeton should be in. Princeton is better than Michigan State as far as resume is concerned. South Florida is better than Michigan State resume-wise. St. John's, Seton Hall, all better than them. Here's the argument for Michigan State, and I want to go back and forth a little bit here. A lot of people going, well, Michigan State had 3 quad one wins, right? That's the argument. They had 3 quad one wins. Okay, one of those quad one wins, Tim, was Indiana State, who didn't make the field. So your quad one wins, oh, that's great, right? No. Come on. Michigan State also had the worst resume average to being included in the field. The worst. Okay, now they had some good games, right? They went 3-10 against NCAA tournament teams in the field, Tim. 3-10 against them. And as for the Seton Hall conversation, this is the first time in 45 years that the Big East, a team inside the top 5 on the metrics, didn't make it. It's the first time in 45 years. Seton Hall deserves to be in this field over Michigan State. Michigan State shouldn't sniff the tournament. 14 losses, 3-10 against tournament teams, 3 quad one wins. That boosted them up. Well, one of them isn't even in the field. So how can they be a quad one win? That's the problem. We talked about this on the drive here. Give me consistency. You can't sit here and tell me that quad one wins matter and then tell me that Indiana State's a quad one win and they're not in.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways. Michigan State does not belong anywhere near this tournament. The end.
14 losses. Didn't even get to 20 wins. A lot of people, Chris, win 19 wins.
But they're 19 and 14.
Yeah, 19 and 14. And nowadays, remember we talked about this before, Tom, 20 wins isn't necessarily hey, you're in the tournament. Now it's more like 23, 24 wins you have to have in order to go, because they soften the schedule, right? 3 quad wins. Indiana State didn't make the tournament. They beat a Baylor team in early December. I mean, okay. And they beat Illinois, which is okay. That's a great win. Other than that, they beat up the Big Ten, bottom of the Big
Ten.
3-10.
Yeah. 3-10 against tournament teams.
Disqualified right there. And you just listed off 4 schools better than Michigan State, better than Boise State, better than Virginia, better than Colorado State, right? So it's an argument we're going to have every season. We know that already. It's just a shame that a team like, I think South Florida is the biggest screw job ever. Are they the only top 25 team not in the tournament?
Yeah. Yeah.
Screw job.
I don't know the last time we've had a top 25 team not make the tournament. It's appalling. Look, I was mad about the Princeton situation, 24-4. I was mad about that, but I kind of saw it coming. I'm mad about the Indiana State situation.
Yeah.
But I kind of saw it coming. I did not expect that. The Big East is the best conference in America when you're talking about top heavy. They have 3 teams in ranked 1, 2, and 3, right? Okay. They have the number one team in the country. How do you not put Seton Hall in there, who has a far superior resume than both of the Mountain West teams that we're talking about, and especially Michigan State? I mean, come on. It's at this point, anybody that believes Michigan State belongs in, just they're not understanding this is a numbers game. It's just strictly a numbers game. You don't have the resume, period. You have the coach, and that's why you're in. Blind resume, if I show it to somebody that likes Michigan State, blind resume, do not tell me who this team is. They're tearing it up, throwing it out in the garbage, and going, why would you bring me this nonsense?
We have this argument every other year when Michigan State has a mediocre team, right? They don't deserve to be in.
No.
I agree 100%. Chris is saying, Tommy, that they weren't even in the last 4, and it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have been. Just because they weren't doesn't mean they shouldn't have been.
Of course not.
3-10 against, what was it? 3-10 against
tournament teams.
Tournament teams.
Yeah. Pathetic.
Disqualified.
Pathetic.
14 losses. Pathetic. Disqualified. Yeah. Right. 3 quad 1 wins. 1 doesn't count. 1 was in early in the season. You're not in. And
like you said, you didn't even get to 20 wins.
No.
You didn't even. I love that people that are going, and a lot of it is Chris, but I've seen people argue this today. Because it is the number one team that people are like, why are they anywhere near the field? I've seen people argue back for Michigan State. 19 wins, man. 19 wins. 19 wins. Yes. That's my argument, too. Only 19 wins. You see what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't be arguing that they do have 19 wins because it's a negative. Because they didn't get to 20 in a stacked situation. If they were 19-4, then that's impressive. 19-14? Come on, guys. Come on.
Beating up on the Michigans, the Marylands, the Rutgers, all these teams that are down.
Yeah, yeah. And you said you weren't into the Big Ten this year. I actually am fine with the Big Ten, and I still think it's a disgrace that they're in the field. They stole it from more undeserving. Colorado State stole it from more undeserving teams. Boise State stole it from more undeserving teams. And I said it to you. You can't do it. You cannot go on the conversation that, well, what if they win games in the tournament? Because that has nothing to do with it. It's deserving to get here. Because if your argument of what if they win games in the tournament, that'll prove they belong, then Virginia as a one seed getting eliminated by UMBC shouldn't have been in the tournament. So your argument falls apart there. What I will say is on a neutral court, being played tomorrow on a neutral court, Seton Hall's a favorite over Michigan State. St. John's a favorite over Michigan State. And they win. Seton Hall beats them. St. John's beats them. So you could talk about South Florida, who belongs there, okay? They belong. They have the resume to be there. But when you're talking about head-to-head, who's winning, Seton Hall or Boise?
Yeah.
Come on. Seton Hall's winning by 10. Seton Hall or St. John's? Seton Hall's winning by 10. You're leaving out. And you can't talk to me about conference because Big East is a better conference. So I know the South Florida hurts, Tim. That, to me, like you said, that is a disgrace that they're not in the field. Indiana State, I kind of saw coming. Princeton, I kind of saw coming. The fact that Seton Hall and St. John's didn't get in is just, it's malpractice. I mean, from every metric that you want to say, it's just malpractice.
By the way, both those schools over 20 wins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 19 wins, man. Exactly.
19.
Exactly.
The last first four, Tommy, would be Boise, Colorado. I have Colorado winning that game. Nice. They had a nice run at the end of the season. In a bad Pac-12, I'll say that. But Boise, I'm just not a fan this year.
Ah, Chris Wynn's statement, like, we'll bring him up for last night. He said, Colorado's going to smoke Boise State. I don't believe that Boise should be here at all. But again, I don't like the Pac-12. I won't touch that game. But yeah, I guess Colorado. But then again, I love you, Chris. I do. But if Chris wins on it, man, I might take Boise plus the money. just because. We got about a minute or two before break here, Tim. Any of these teams that are in the first four, and can any of them win a game after that? Can Virginia, come up? Or no, you got them losing, right? Can Colorado? Is Colorado the team? Because the 16s aren't winning.
No.
This isn't the year for the 16s. But as a 10 seed, look, you're taking on week sevens in some cases. Can you see a Colorado? Can you see a Colorado State?
I don't have it. Foreshadowing in hour two when we go over.
I think Virginia could. Maybe they could because that defense can just drive teams mad. Again, I'm not even sure they get out of the first round. Like I said, I'm taking them, but I am not sure. But could I see Virginia go on a little run, win 2-3 games, mess around, and with really good coaching and really good defense? Yeah, I can see that, Tim.
Yeah, I'm taking them in the first four game as well. And could they lull Texas to sleep?
Yeah,
it could happen.
Yeah.
I don't see it, no.
Wouldn't shock me, but I don't see it. No, right. No. All right, so the biggest loser to you is South Florida. Biggest loser to me is the Big East.
Yeah.
I really wanted.
I'm not even saying, Tom, South Florida would do anything in the tournament. I'm just saying if you're basing this on what's fair is fair, South Florida deserves to be there.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line. And maybe neutral site game Michigan State could beat South Florida. It could happen, yes. But that's not the point. And Chris's argument is that they're not even in the last four teams. That doesn't matter.
No, it's just
because
selection
that just committee. Means it was wrong to begin with. Right,
right. Right. It's just the selection committee. Yeah, that has nothing to do with it. They said, oh, by the way, we have Izzo. He's just an automatic in. Yeah, but he didn't win 20 games this year. Nah, it's all right. He isn't. He's 3-10 against the. It's all right. He isn't. He lost 14 games. It's all right. He isn't. Yeah, I mean, that was.
It's Tom Izzo.
Yeah. But we used to have these conversations about Syracuse. We just mentioned him off the air. Boeheim should not have made a tournament about 3 or 4 times and actually went on a run 1 year. 1 year, he was a lower seed, shouldn't have made the tournament. He was really, everybody was going up in arms about it. And they wound up like winning like 3-4 games that year and went on a little bit of a run. So maybe Michigan State has that run in them. I just, they don't have the resume to be here. That doesn't mean that they can't win some games in this conference. All right, guys, that's hour number one. When we come back, hour number two, we're going to talk about the South. We're going to talk about the Midwest. We're going to get the Final Four, and we're going to give you our champions, all that and more, right here on Heatwave Sports.
Now back to Heatwave Sports.
Hour two, Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, Las Vegas. I'm up with Tom Barton and Eagle here on a Super Sunday night, looking at the NCAA bracket. Chris Wynn, you will acknowledge me. I am the tribal chief, and I say Michigan State does not belong, Tommy.
That argument has been put to rest.
Right.
We won, Chris lost.
I like it how though he kills you in this group thread. I literally was agreeing with everything you said and yeah. Made points, and he's just killing you. So thank you, Chris. Thank you.
All right, let's go over to the South here, Tim. Go ahead. You want to lead us off?
Yeah. Let's do this. Houston, obviously embarrassed in that loss to Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament. They play a school that I promise you, those of you listening, you have no idea what Longwood University is.
They don't know the mascot. They don't know the Lancers, baby. They don't know the Lancers.
They don't know where they are. Look, it's easy. Houston advances in this
zone.
8-9, Nebraska, A&M.
But I'll tell you what, by the way, I might take Longwood with the points in that game because everybody thinks that Houston's going to come out, like, you know what I mean, and just crush them. I go the other way. I think that Houston's aware we could beat this team and call off the dogs late.
What's the line, mid-20s?
I think it's going to be the highest line of the weekend.
28?
Yeah, 27,
8-9, Nebraska, A&M. Here's another one to Chris's credit. They're not even one of the last four in. Neither was Nebraska, and I don't think they deserve to be here. A&M, I'm not sold on them. This is a hard one for me, Tom. It is a legitimate coin flip game. I'm going to go A&M, SEC, stronger schedule.
This is one of my key games of the week. I love A&M in this game. They have a massive. This will be probably the biggest rebounding disadvantage for Nebraska and the advantage to Texas A&M in the entire first round. Their rebounding advantage, when you go look at the numbers, I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. When you look at the numbers, it's eye-popping, the rebounding advantage that Texas A&M will have in this game. They will absolutely win this game because of the rebounding advantage.
5-12. You asked me earlier this week when we were sitting at the Mountain West tournament. I think we were looking at games coming up in the afternoon, and Iowa was involved in one. And you asked me about Wisconsin, what I think. And I said, I don't know, Tom. Wisconsin just seems to be that team that if you get them in a tournament, they can do something. And they did. They ended up making a nice little run here in the Big Ten tournament against number 12, James Madison. Another school that people just aren't looking at here. And here we go, 5-12 again. I know you're on the Dukes here.
Absolutely. I did a little guest spot on VSiN this week, and they asked me, who do you like? I said, I watch James Madison if they get a good draw. I hate the draw with Wisconsin, man. I can't stand the draw with Wisconsin because, like you said, Wisconsin's red hot. But I like James Madison, and I gave that answer. They were the first team to come to mind. I'm sticking with them. I think people are sleeping on how good this team is. Not only do I think that they could win here, I think that James Madison, if there's any team that is like the Elite Eight team that can make that run, it might be James Madison.
I'm going to go against Tom Barton Sports. I like Wisconsin in this game to move on. Point-wise, I don't know.
I think it's going to be close. Yeah. It's probably going to be like a 4 or 5 point game.
4-13, Duke, Vermont. Are you on the Duke?
Yeah, I am. Look, I like Vermont. I bet them. I make a ton of money on them. They have the best home winning percentage in the country, year after year after year. This is for a 10-year span. The best. But they're not playing in Vermont. And this was the 1 year that I bet them before the year for the futures play, and I was really nervous going into conference play because they're just not the same Vermont team. Duke lost to North Carolina. Yeah. Then they lost in the ACC tournament. Duke is reeling. This is a get-right game for Duke.
Duke is reeling. This is not a spot where they get upset. Usually when Duke's on a run coming into the NCAA tournament, you seem to find that upset in the first or second round. It's the opposite this way. I like Duke as well. 6-11 Texas Tech, NC State. Again, NC State, right, Tom? They're a hot team coming in. I just think it fizzles out here. I like Texas Tech.
I'm going with the hot team. I'm going NC State. Again, I think that the ACC had a down conference or perceived. They still play a gauntlet schedule. They went and they beat UNC, man. I mean, you have to give them credit for that. I'm taking the ACC conference champs.
3-14, Kentucky, Oakland. We talked about Kentucky earlier about the ability to score. I think they win this game.
Everybody loves Oakland. Everybody loves Oakland. This is one of those games that Kentucky could put a beat down on them. And yeah, they might score 110.
7-10. So we both have Florida at 7 and Colorado as the play-in winner at 10. How big is this injury for Florida? Think about that. Florida also was kind of on a run here in the end of the season. I love their coach, Gordon. Came from San Francisco. He's just improved every stop he's made along his coaching career. Colorado. I don't know, man. When you look at the Pac-12, how do you really gauge these teams? Because the conference was so bad.
So bad, so bad.
The only positive that I saw the Pac-12 this year, other than UCLA and USC not making the field, right, Tom? Not going on a run and making their way into this bracket, is that the top teams, the Arizonas, the Oregons, deserve to be in this situation. Can I say the same for Colorado? I don't see that. The injury for Florida, question mark for me. But I think they find a way to win this match.
My emotional situation over the last 24 hours, Tim. Last night we sat here on the air and I said Florida could be a team, that team that could make the run to a Final Four that's a lower seed. I thought that they were that good. I watched the kid break his leg. I said, oh, there goes that. And then I looked at the metrics. They're actually, and this is no slight to him, but they're actually a net positive when he's not on the floor. So his impact might hurt them, certainly not in this round, though.
And it's not, yeah, you're right. It's so his impact is, this isn't your leading scorer breaking his leg and being out for the tournament. Depth-wise, it could be an issue. But we had talked about the game driving home from Big West, Florida, Alabama. What were they going to put the total at, right? And you were like, what would the total be? It ended up being like 175, right? Florida can score.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. And I just don't see Colorado being able to stay with them in this one. So I love them there, like you do. 215 is going to be Marquette, Western Kentucky. I like Marquette, Big East. They were strong all year.
I don't like Marquette at all, but I like them more than Western Kentucky. Right. I think they have a lot of flaws, and I hate their coach. But, yeah, they are moving on.
All right. So the Sweet 16 matchup would be Houston, the one seed, against Duke. No, I'm sorry.
No.
Right. Houston A&M in the second round.
Yeah,
I have Houston.
Houston's moving on. I think that Houston is very vulnerable. But they can rebound as opposed to Nebraska, who can't rebound. So you take away Texas A&M's biggest strength.
I gave you a sneak peek of my
yes.
My
yes, you did.
Wisconsin, Duke for me. I like Duke. Like I said, if you hate Duke, this is the wrong momentum. You don't want them coming in at this, getting embarrassed in the tournament end of the year. You want them being a red-hot team. So I have Duke moving on. You have Duke versus the Duke. Duke versus Duke.
Yeah.
Duke versus Duke.
Yeah. Look at my bracket. I just wrote Duke moves on because I'm not wrong. I'm going to call up my bookie and I'm going to say, listen, give me Duke. And that's it. And then argue. No matter what, I have an argument to go on. You know? Look, I think James Madison could have made a run. I said that. I thought that they were the team that could make a run. I still think that they can. But they just got bad matchups. Wisconsin and Duke back-to-back is just tough. And I love your mindset of Duke is usually the favorite, you know, going crazy, and you fade them. Yeah. Here, they have a lot to prove, and I'm going with them.
I have Texas Tech, Kentucky in the second-round matchup. I like the Wildcats and your buddy Mr. Calipari moving to the Sweet 16.
North Carolina State, Kentucky, and I'm going NC State. I think we have NC State red hot, really on fire. And what beats Kentucky? What can beat Kentucky? A team that could shoot the ball and score. And we just watched what NC State did to UNC's defense, which is worlds better. I think NC State continues the red hot streak.
You're loving these 11s, man. I'm noticing that. Mm. You're 11 guy this year. Huh?
I guess so. I didn't do it on purpose. I'm looking at it. I'm going, yeah, yes, I am.
Because you even though you like BYU, you said Duquesne very well could knock them out. And they can. There's no doubt.
I am loving the 11. Okay. Yeah. I'm an 11 guy this year. Right. I like it.
Florida Marquette. I love Florida, man. I really do. I think Marquette, ugly number two, right? When you look at it, and that's what, for me, it's easy to get run with the points like I did with Bama, but in this situation, I just, for whatever reason, I like Marquette here. I can't take Florida any further right now.
I am taking Florida. I've been saying it all year that I think Marquette is vulnerable. I think their coaching is, I think he's a bad coach, plain and simple. He's got tremendous talent. I don't think he's a very good coach. And we've seen that happen over and over again, that Marquette has just big time, 5, 6, 7 minutes where you're going, what are they doing out there? You can't do that against Florida. Not the way they're scoring right now. Absolutely. I'm a little nervous because of the injury. If there wasn't an injury, I'd be telling you that that's one of my bigger bets, actually. So I'll take Florida and hope that the injury doesn't derail them that much.
Sweet 16, Tommy. Houston, Duke, we both have it. I like Houston.
I'm going Duke. I told you Houston was going to get knocked off. I don't believe in them. I didn't believe in them all year. I saw major vulnerability there, and I'm going with Duke. They are not red hot. The only reason I'm going with Duke is because I've seen them at their peak, and at their peak, they're just as good as Houston at their peak. And I think that both of these teams can be peaking at that point.
And I have Kentucky Marquette. You have Kentucky Florida SEC matchup in the Sweet 16. I'm going to ride the two. I'm going to take Marquette through to meet Houston in the Elite Eight.
I want Duke, North Carolina State so bad. That's my, from my small time in Raleigh in the triangle, that would set the triangle on fire. It would be fantastic basketball to get Duke, North Carolina State in the Elite Eight. I would love it. Then again, I hate North Carolina, the state. I don't like my time there. I don't like anything about it. It's a terrible state. So I'm not giving them what they want. I'm giving them Florida.
All right, Florida for you, Florida Duke.
Oh, man. I'm doing this on the fly here, Tim. I would be taking Florida if there wasn't an injury. I would be on Florida if there wasn't that injury. Oh, man. How much does that impact them? I wanted to take Florida because I'm so impressed with them. A 7 seed going, but I'm going Duke here. I think the injury just pushes them, just nudges them above. And like you said, that revenge spot for Duke is going to be sweet.
Houston Marquette for me in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. I like Houston, so they'll be my second number one seed in. If you look at what you saw last was Houston being embarrassed by Iowa State. We talked about that. And then how do they right themselves? And even if they come in sluggish against Longwood, right, is that a true variable to use as a measuring stick of where they can be? I think they can move through to A&M. I think they move through Duke, and I think at that point, you're catching a team that's just playing well. Marquette, stylistically, it doesn't work for me with Houston. That's why I like Houston moving on.
Yeah, I understand. Look, if this was a week ago, I think almost everybody in the country would have agreed that Houston is probably the best team in the country. They were not flawed. But if you watch their games, their scoring, their lack of scoring, and I've mentioned this quite a few times this year, just alarmed me, and it came to fruition. I know Iowa State's got a great defense, but it just came to fruition. That lack of scoring, I just think, is going to bite them. But I can't fault you for taking Houston.
Tommy, run us through the Midwest.
All right. Started off a team that I think is very vulnerable, and if a one would have gone down before I saw the brackets, it would have been Purdue. But I absolutely look at this team and I go, are you kidding me? Yeah, they're definitely winning that first game. And I think because we are all doubting them and their coach, they might humiliate Montana State or Grambling.
Yeah, you got to put Purdue through. And there's no 16-1 upset this year.
Utah State, here we go. I took Utah State to win the Mountain West tournament. They let me down. Now they take on TCU. I bashed the selection committee for taking six teams in the Mountain West, but I also have a lot of Mountain West teams doing well so far. Will it continue for me? Utah State is such a weird team. I think that they can win. I hope that they can win, number one team overall. I'll take them to beat TCU, but man, it was a struggle to get there.
Yeah, for as much as we were criticizing the Mountain West Conference, right? I think the matchups dictate a lot. There's some positives for the Mountain West. There's some negatives. I think this is one of the positives. I like Utah State as well. Mountain West regular season champions. struggled with Fresno State. We saw it, right? And then run into the 18th overall seed, right, Tommy? I mean, what do you say? But I'm not a fan of TCU either. So coin flip, give me Utah State.
Gonzaga, McNeese. I think Gonzaga is a flawed team. I like McNeese. I think that they are very overlooked, very overlooked. This is the year where Gonzaga was supposed to be down, and then what happens? They go out, they beat St. Mary's and St. Mary's, they get back inside the top 25, they take themselves off the bubble, they mess around and make it to the championship, conference championship game, but they're sitting here with a five seed, where I think a lot of people don't believe that they're a five seed, and I think it's a tough matchup against McNeese here. I think this is one of those spots where I need some chaos again. So I'm going a little McNeese chaos.
I'm not a chaos guy, Tom. I'm very analytical. And yeah, you're right. Zaga hasn't been Zaga. That's what they say. But here where they are, right, Tommy? The West Coast Conference Tournament champions crushed it. St. Mary's made a statement for me. I like the momentum they're going on into the tournament. I don't know much about McNeese, but I do know that they can be dangerous, right?
They win and win and win and win. I mean, they are close to 30 wins this year. I mean, they can run the floor, which we've seen give Gonzaga some trouble.
Not enough for me.
All right.
I like Zags. Yeah.
Kansas, Samford. Look, Kansas, we heard the guys are going to come back. They'll be back for the tournament. This is a game where I don't even like to put it in my bracket until I know if players are going to be back. If Kansas doesn't have these guys at 100%, and you got to question if they're going to be 100%, Samford's a live dog. A live dog here. I can see Kansas going to the Final Four if they're healthy, and I can see them getting knocked out in the first round. I already have some McNeese absolute chaos here would be to take Samford, take a 13 seed, but I've watched Samford play, and I'm not all that impressed. I'll take Kansas.
What's the injury issue? Are these guys?
He said that the head coach,
Self said.
He said before the Big 12 tournament that was sitting them out. That's how little he cared about the tournament, yeah. By the way. He was sitting them out. Maybe they could have pushed it, but they'll definitely be back by the tournament. And you heard a lot of rumblings coming from, Kansas that, yeah, that's not the case. They definitely aren't coming back. Like, and it wasn't sitting out. They are still hurt. So we have no idea. We have no idea leading into that game if they're going to play or not.
And that's smart, right?
It's brilliant. Right. Brilliant by Bill Self. And it was brilliant to announce it a week ago. So now it's all dissipated and people, they got plenty of time to heal up. No, they don't.
When we did our season preview, I picked Kansas to win the national championship. Yeah. It's on tape. I'm not going against that right now in the first round. So give me Kansas over Samford. And I'm assuming that at least Dickinson will be back at some point. But then again, I'm not a doctor. And
I was gonna say, how back?
Right. And I'm not Hunter, so I can't tell you how I feel. Yeah. But that's a big loss. But you're right. They went into the Big 12 tournament knowing they weren't going to win.
Yeah. And they didn't care.
No, because they're already in the big tournament. So.
And they still got a four.
Right.
They still got a four.
So, yeah, I like Kansas there.
Hey, Chris, when did they deserve a four?
Last four in, baby.
Yeah. South Carolina, Oregon. I was high on South Carolina. I picked them to win the SEC because I was getting plus 6,000 back. I like them. They are red hot. When they are rolling, they can beat anybody. I think the SEC is a really good conference. The Pac-12 is a bad conference. I don't believe in Oregon at all. To me, Oregon had one really impressive win in the last month and a half or 2 months, and it was an impressive win, but that's about it. South Carolina with ease for me.
Agreed. Don't go by what you saw in the SEC tournament last. Auburn was on a run. Carolina over Oregon.
I picked Creighton. I told you before the year we talked about, I said I might have four Big East teams going to the Final Four. I had Creighton going to the Final Four and to the championship game in our preseason ranking as the year went on. I just saw that they are so reliant upon the three ball that it worries me. They are so reliant, but they have plenty to take on Akron here. Look, Akron could be dangerous in some spots, but this is not one of those spots, Tim. Creighton is going to absolutely make a statement.
I love the Jays, too. You said it. Watch Creighton. They can cause problems in this bracket as we get further in what we can talk about. They could definitely cause problems there. So, yes, I have them over Akron as well.
Texas against U of Colorado State. I have Texas against Virginia. look, Texas was on the bubble a week ago, right? I mean, people were thinking maybe they weren't going to get in. Maybe they wouldn't make it. They have one of my favorite college basketball players of all time. I would say probably my number one favorite college basketball player of all time on the team, the old Oral Roberts, Max Asemus, right? I absolutely love this kid. And we watched when he got red hot with Oral Roberts. I think that he is the star of this team that needs to get red hot. He doesn't need to be red hot against a Virginia or a Colorado State, whoever comes out. They're moving on, but they could be a team that causes problems too.
I like Rick Barnes, Tom, I do. But he always finds ways to screw up something. It's not going to be here. I'm foreshadowing a little bit, but I do like Texas to move through.
What about Tennessee, St. Peter's? No problem at all. I've said at times this year that Tennessee was one of the top two or three teams in the country, and I'm not getting off of that. I know their history. They've lost me a lot of money, okay? I get it. A lot of money this time of year. I get it, but I'm going Tennessee.
I like Tennessee as well. Yeah.
All right, so that sets up here for me, Purdue-Utah State. Purdue with ease. I don't even know if I really fully believe that Utah State's getting out of the first game.
Purdue, much like Duke, right, Tom? If you're going to get them, you got to get them early in the tournament. What was the other team we talked about? Seems to find a way to lose in the first two rounds. It's
Arizona.
Yeah, same situation. If you don't get them here in the first two rounds, they can kind of move through. And Utah State's just not – I don't think they're just – they're not athletically
– and they got the best player in the country, Purdue. You know, I mean, that's
that guy's,
just it.
Yeah, you can't stop them. So well, they can't stop them, let's put it that way.
I have McNeese, Kansas. You have Zags, Kansas. I have to put Kansas through betting on what you said. I'm betting on Dickinson's going to be back. I'm betting on that they're going to get healthy by this time. I'm betting that another week, maybe they could scratch through without him even for the first round. But getting to that second weekend, they'll have another week. So I got to go with Kansas here.
Me too. I'm banking on that one for sure, both probably. And at that point, they're a completely different team. Zaga's... Look, we're all down on Zaga, and will that bite us in the proverbial butt at some point? Maybe. Just I don't see it. I like Kansas. Moving on.
Next up for me, South Carolina, Creighton. You said it. Creighton could be dangerous in this field. South Carolina, what we watched with them is that you can outshoot them, and that's a Creighton's game. I mean, that is Creighton. This is a bad matchup for South Carolina. I thought South Carolina could go a lot further in my mind as I'm looking at it now. I'm going, nope, they're not going as far as I think because the Creighton Jays are right there and their style of play is so good.
Creighton's being overlooked, in my opinion, Tom, as a three. You look at the other threes in this tournament, Illinois coming off in a Big Ten title championship, right? A tournament championship. Baylor, people know Baylor. Kentucky, people know Kentucky, Calipari. Nobody talks about Creighton, and that's a mistake for me. I like them over South Carolina.
Texas, Tennessee, this is the side of the bracket that is killing me because I could have made an argument that Creighton, Texas, South Carolina, Tennessee all should have been Elite Eight teams. I could make that argument, and I got to pick and choose here. I was going to go with Tennessee and Texas as Elite Eight teams, hoping that the bracket would fall my way. I might have gone with both of them to be Final Four teams, but the bracket didn't go my way. I have to choose between Texas and Tennessee. As much as I like Max Asemus, Texas has had problems this year, and Tennessee has not. Tennessee has been to win the SEC regular season was such an accomplishment for a team like this. It threw the gauntlet that is the SEC, and I've talked about this with the ACC back in the day. I love gauntlet teams, teams that you wake up every single day and you're in a battle with a tournament-driven team, and Tennessee got through that as the champion. You got to go Tennessee.
Yeah. This is the Rick Barnes special, right? Isn't he? He used to be the guy in Texas. Now he's the guy in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Where does he mess up, though? That's going to be the question mark. It's not going to be against Texas. They move on to the next round.
So that leaves Purdue, Kansas, where here we go with the injuries, right, Tim? If Dickinson is healthy, he can neutralize Eddie, or as much as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can neutralize Zach Eddie if he's healthy. When they match up, will he be healthy? If he is, I like Kansas because Purdue always falls. But I don't know if I could bet on that right now. I don't think I could move them forward because I don't know the injury news. I don't know where he's going to be. I have no idea. Nobody does. So it pains me to do it because I want to see Kansas do well. I want to see these kids come back healthy and give it. But I don't think that they will. I can't believe that they're going to, and then go out there and beat the number one player in the country, and then go out there and beat the number one team or the number one seed. I got to go Purdue. Begrudgingly, I'm going Purdue.
Right. We're totally question marking this at this point, and that's the problem. But I liked Kansas at the beginning of the season. I'm going to ride them through. If these guys don't come back, they're gone early. We already know that. But if they are back and they're, what do you say, Tom? 70%? Is that good enough to beat Purdue? Maybe.
Maybe.
Is the
if all three come back.
If all three, then yeah, all systems go. If it comes down to that and it comes down to coaching, you know where we're going. Bill Self, right? We've already had the discussion about where Bill Self ranks in the lineage of all-time top coaches. If they're ready to go and you got Bill Self in that spot, give me Kansas, and I have to continue on through. I'm just banking on that they're going to be healthy enough. Let's put it that way.
Creighton, Tennessee, in my toughest game that I've had to pick so far. I think that I could make a very good, compelling argument. Maybe it would make great radio, but I think I could make a very good, compelling argument that Creighton could win this whole thing. I could make a very good, compelling argument that Tennessee could win this whole thing. And I will tell you now, when we were sitting here, me and Chris, yesterday, before the brackets came out, and we were going, okay, who's your final four? I said, I got UConn, North Carolina, Creighton, and Tennessee. And now they match up in the Sweet 16. I gotta pick my poison in this spot, and it's tough. I think that these are two of the top four teams in the country. I do. And I think that either one of them could go on and win it, and it kills me. I fill out two brackets every year. Mm-hmm. One of them I'm going to have Creighton going. One of them I'm going to have Tennessee going because I have to, Tim, right? But I have to pick here. Do I go with my Big East bias, as maybe Chris Wynn's talking about, because I'm ripping on Michigan? Or do I go with Tennessee, who has let me down year after year after year after year after year? And Tennessee consistently lets me down. But I'm going to have a little faith in them. I'm going to have faith in them in the most disgusting, ridiculous Elite Eight matchup between two coaches that just can't get there. One of them is going to get there. Tennessee against Purdue. Painter against Barnes in the, hey, my career is not a first-round exit defining situation. I'll take Tennessee because I want to see the rejuvenation story.
I'm going the other way.
All right.
I said Rick Barnes loses a big game. Whether it was when he was at Texas, he found ways to lose big games.
He always does. My pocketbook knows.
Yeah, last year in the tournament, Tennessee lost big game, right? It happens here to a team. And I'm going strictly more so, Tom, on that. I feel that Creighton is overlooked every time they're in a bracket. It's Creighton, right? It's Creighton. They're pretty good. Barnes, I love him today. He's a great regular season coach. He's energetic. I love what he does. He always gets top recruits. We know how that happens, but he gets them, but he always finds a way to lose. And until he breaks that moniker for me, that's just the way it's going to be, and this is where it ends for him. I think I like Creighton, so give me a Creighton-Kansas Elite Eight.
So that leaves us with our Final Four here, Tim. Who's going to finish it off? Purdue for me or Tennessee? Purdue or Creighton for you?
No, Kansas or Creighton.
Or I'm sorry, Kansas or Creighton for you.
Look, I'm running Kansas because that's where I'm going. So
that's what you were there before the season began. You're not getting off that horse.
No, if these guys are not coming back, then my bracket is busted. But if they do, look, I'm sitting nice right now, right?
Everything you said about Rick Barnes is true. Everything that you said about him throughout his career is true. But he gets a matchup against a guy that might be more of a bigger choke artist than him. it's possible.
Painter, yeah.
Matt Painter may be a bigger choke artist than Rick Barnes, which is amazing. And that's what he's going to have to do. He doesn't have to slay a dragon to get there. He doesn't have to go through a gauntlet to get there. He doesn't have to go through Bill Self in my bracket to get there. He's got to go through a guy staring across the court with him that is just as big of a failure to his legacy in this bracket as anybody. And I think Tennessee gets it done. I think that Barnes finally crosses over. And if he doesn't, I could just be mad at him a little bit more.
Do they have the body or bodies to neutralize Eddie?
Yeah, they do. Here's why. Because they played in the SEC with a lot of big bodies. They play in the SEC like we just talked about, Tim. Because Purdue scores. And like you said, the bodies. But they played in the SEC with Alabama scoring 90 points a game. Mm-hmm. Florida was scoring 85 points a game. Kentucky was scoring 90 points a game, and they won the league. And they won it convincingly. So I go back to my gauntlet conversation that we had probably 13 years ago when I was living in North Carolina. And why do you love the ACC team so much? Why do I love the Big EC team so much? Because when you have a conference that is that stacked, they had five teams in the top 25. When you have a conference that stacked every single night, you're going up against dynamic teams. They're not going to be intimidated by Purdue. They're not going to be worried about Zach Ayton. Yeah, we played guys like you. We played players like you. We played players to your caliber. Don't think that we haven't. We played offenses like you. And we've gone out there and we've won. And the resume speaks for itself here.
Okay. So you have Tennessee moving on to the Final Four. And I have Kansas.
So who's your Final Four? We'll take a break and come back with it. But who's your Final Four right now?
Final Four. UConn out of the East. Arizona out of the West. Houston out of the South. Kansas out of the Midwest.
I have UConn, UNC, Duke, Tennessee. So I got two ones. You have two ones, right?
I have two ones, a four, and a two.
I have two ones, a four, and a two, and they're not the same. And they're not the same. Two ones, four, and a two, guys. Yeah. That is pretty outstanding. All right, let's take a quick timeout. We'll come on back. We'll talk about who's going to win it all. We have our Final Four team set. We're talking brackets here on Heat Wave Sports.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
About Tom during the break.
We were talking LA Dodgers.
We were absolutely talking LA Dodgers.
That is a complete truth.
That is a truth. Freddie Freeman may be getting divorced, though. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I'm just saying from, you know. We're going to look at these final, our final four here, Tom. Save a little time, hopefully, to go over Justin Fields. And then I have to give the Major League Baseball update before the end of the show. So, final four. It will be the East versus the West. Tom, you have UConn taking on
North Carolina.
North Carolina. 2-1.
Wow. Wow. Just wow. UConn is the best team in the country. But I tweeted out about 2 weeks ago that North Carolina is the best team in the country. And it was the only time I flipped this year. It's the only time I flipped in 2 years. Remember, I was all over UConn last year.
Mm-hmm.
Before the year, I told you I thought UConn was the best team in the country this year and probably going to repeat. I'm taking North Carolina. I'm taking North Carolina because they lost. Let me tell you, if they won against North Carolina State, I would not be taking them here. I think that loss is going to ignite this team. Baycott, when he plays big, and he sometimes doesn't, but when he plays big, he's almost an unstoppable force. Now, I know you could talk to me about their offense is all about RJ and that's it. And a lot of people will say that the offense of UNC is one-dimensional because of RJ. UConn is the most unbeatable team in the country. But if there's anybody that's going to take them down, it's a superstar like RJ and a big man like Baycott underneath. You need both. You need a superstar, and RJ is that. You need the big man underneath. This isn't a Zach Eddy situation. It's a 1-2 combination, and I think that North Carolina's defense could give UConn a little bit of problems. I'm taking North Carolina in a shocking move by myself here, but I'm taking UNC to beat UConn. I wish that this was the final.
I have UConn, Arizona as my final four game. 100% UConn is the best team in the country, bar none. Nobody's going to argue that with you. If they do, they're idiots, right? We already know this. And the only reason I have Zona here and not North Carolina is because Alabama was my wrench.
Sleeper team?
Yeah, they're the wrench in the plans, right? Because if it would have been North Carolina, Arizona in Elite Eight, I would have North Carolina moving through, but I don't. I had Bama there. So Arizona gets in to the Final Four, whether they deserve to be there or not. They found their way in my bracket to knock off teams that I think, in my opinion, the Midwest can easily be said as maybe that's the worst of the four, right? But I think the West is right there, too, if you play the matchups right. And then you're like, how can you say that when you have North Carolina coming out of there, right? Upsets happen places. And
you don't have North Carolina coming out of there,
right? You have to kind of ride the bracket the way you build it, so... Zona runs into a wall, which is at UConn. And for me, it's easily UConn back in the title game again.
The other side of the bracket, I have Duke, Tennessee. Who do you have?
Houston, Kansas.
That's a fun one.
That is.
That's fun if Kansas is healthy, man.
Right.
That's
the question mark, right?
Blue blood against a team really wanting to be a blue blood.
Yes.
So how do you have that playing out?
I'm always a believer of you have to do it for me to take notice, and Houston can never do it, right? Doesn't that just seem to be, is it Kelvin, is it Samson there? Is that the guy? He's another coach. gets you right to the brink of it, but can they get through?
But they're the Big 12 Houston Cougars now.
That is true. That is true. And unfortunately, they're going to run into the Big 12 Kansas Jayhawks, hopefully healthy for me. And if that's the case, look, Kansas, I rode them in November. I got to ride them through here. Give me Kansas, UConn in the final.
Kind of like your symmetry of Kansas has owned the Big 12 forever. New blood comes in. They win the regular season. They're the champion.
Right.
And Kansas goes, we'll get our revenge. Bill Self will get his revenge at the end. I like the symmetry there. You like symmetry, Tim? Because I do. So I have Duke against Tennessee.
Yes.
We have never seen it, ever. We've all, I don't care what kind of basketball fan you are, we have all wanted to see this because it's beautiful. You either hate them or you love them, but it is great storytelling. This is Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns. You might hate both of them, but man, it's good storytelling, right? I'm taking UNC against Duke for the finals. Somewhere, Dick Vitale's head just blew off, right? I mean, yeah,
he loves that. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, the ESPN, you know, front office is drooling. CBS is counting their money. It is what basketball has wanted for 30 years. They never got Roy Williams against Coach K. So you give them the new bloods. I do. It's just the way that the bracket worked out. I don't think Barnes has enough to take it. I got him going to the Final Four. That should be enough credit for him. I wanted UConn-UNC for the final. That's what I wanted. If I fill out another bracket, Tim, I probably will have UConn-Creighton in the final, which was my preseason, UConn-Creighton. But I'm going fun. I have a chaos bracket. At the end, I want the fun. I want it to be just an epic, monumental, we'll never forget North Carolina against Duke.
You want the hatred, man. You talk about schools that people hate.
Hate.
Those are hate. I'm anointing you on this show tonight, Heat Wave Sports, Tom, the official ACC ball washer now.
Yeah, so there you go.
That's what you are, right?
I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah.
I won't even deny it. I'm perfectly fine
you
with
like
that.
Being the heel, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm okay.
So my question to you is, who's the Cody crybaby in that? Is it Kansas, or is it UNC, or is it Duke?
Oh, Duke's definitely Roman Reigns. Everybody hates Duke. I mean, you know, they're definitely Roman Reigns. They're always there. Oh, we got, yeah, you know, oh, you got rid of this guy. That's it. Okay, we're finally going to beat them. You got rid of Coach K. Nope, they're back. Oh, here we go, you know. Yeah, I'm going UNC Duke. But much like Cody Rhodes should be beating Roman Reigns in WrestleMania, the good guys are going to win. North Carolina is your national champs. It's a weird way to get here, but that's where I'm at.
What are the odds on them to win? Not good, right?
Not good.
Yeah. Number one seed.
Probably 8-1, something like that.
It's okay.
Enough to throw something
Yeah,
there.
It's okay. UConn, Kansas for me, Tom. I love this. If this happens, I love it. I love Hurley. I love Bill Self.
It's really fun.
It's a great matchup. UConn with a chance to go back-to-back would... Which is what's more impressive, real quickly?
Last team to go back to back was Florida in the 90s.
Yeah.
Or 2000s, right?
Billy Donovan,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
Joakim Noah, that team, right? Is it more impressive to win back to back NCAA tournaments or more impressive to win back to back Super Bowls?
Wow.
Right?
Oof.
That's a tough
one. Your immediate reaction to Super Bowl because you're going up against, you know, but no, because you can keep that team intact generally. You don't have the gauntlet. I think back-to-back tournaments is more impressive.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because you're going through, and the second, when you go in the second one, you have that target. It doesn't matter, right? What your season was like. You won last year, and you're back in here trying to do something that doesn't happen. Teams are coming for you. They're going to play their best game against you.
Do they finish it off?
They don't.
Oh.
And that's only because in November, I liked Kansas. I liked Bill Self. I felt that Dickinson was going to be a difference maker, which he has been. But I didn't expect him to get hurt like this. And because I have this huge question mark, and I'm going to write it right here on my bracket, Tom, I have this huge question mark, I write out what I started with. And just like you said at the beginning, you're like, you liked UConn to win the tournament years ago, and you rode them through. I got to do it with Kansas. I love UConn's story. It doesn't happen, Tom. You don't see back-to-back.
No.
And I feel that the pressure – at that point will be too much against a very, very good Kansas team when healthy. I like Self more than I like Hurley. Give me Bill Self to put himself firmly into possibly a Mount Rushmore situation of coaches.
Oh, I think he's there if he wins, sure. Yeah. I mean, you could argue he might be there now. Is he the best? Is he the best Big Ten coach of all time?
Big 12?
Big 12 coach of all time, I'm sorry.
All time?
Ooh. I think he's got to be.
He's
right there.
If he's not, give me one. Give me one who's over him, right? If he's not.
So he's, you know, he's got to be there.
Yeah.
He's got to be close, yeah. You know? What's funny here, I'm going to fill out two brackets, I told you. I don't fill out a million brackets, two brackets. So I got UNC Duke, and I'm going to have UConn Creighton, the other one, UConn going on. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, obviously self, you leaning UConn a little bit. I don't know if you're going to fill out a second bracket. But at no time, Tim, at no time did we even think about a team west of Texas, because no team has won the NCAA tournament west of Texas since 1997, Tim. Wow. Wow. That is a nugget I wanted to throw out there, because not only do I look at it, I don't even think it's going to be close. Like, I don't even have them in the Elite Eight. Oh, yeah, well, I have Arizona.
Yeah.
That's it. But they might not even make the Elite Eight. There's not a serious contender to me. Maybe Arizona. Outside of that, there's not even a serious contender west of Texas. College basketball in the West Coast time bracket is just non-existent.
And for all the ones that want to claim East Coast bias, well, the proof is in the pudding. There's no bias that's statistically proven that, like you just said, no team has won since 97.
97.
It's almost 20 years. So.
Yeah, that's tough. And Zona is the only prayer they have.
And was it Zona that did it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Kansas for me, North Carolina for you.
Yeah.
And this show will be available up on the archives if you want to kind of follow us through the bracket and maybe make some money, Tom, because Tommy's picked some chaos on the left side. If you're looking at a bracket on the left side, the chaos is real.
Pure chaos.
Do we want to NFL this for a little bit here? I know there was the big
We went real into Justin Fields last night.
Yeah.
But we don't have to go into it that much, but I always like to evaluate trades, and I tell you that all the time, about when I evaluate a trade, I want to see the other team. So, you know, if I'm a Yankee fan and, you know, Boston makes a trade with Texas, I don't care what Boston thinks of the trade and Texas thinks of the trade. What do the Yankees think of the trade, right? So we talked about it last night. Maybe he's the starter. Maybe he's not the starter. I think it's a terrible, you know, feedback. We went well into the Justin Fields muck last night. But you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. He's going to your rival. And they're talking about him maybe being the quarterback of the future. So as a Ravens fan, are you happy Justin Fields is coming there and going, whatever, can't wait to play him? Or are you going, uh-oh, okay, that was a shrewd move?
Just based on what I've seen, it doesn't worry me. And I think if you're looking at the future, we'll see. I don't know what the leash looks like, because I thought Russell Wilson was coming in to be the guy, Tom. Now all of a sudden you've created a quarterback competition, right?
Absolutely.
I don't think that was what I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's what they wanted to do. I'm not sure. Or is Fields going to sit the bench for a year? And if Russell completely craps himself, then he has that job. But I'm not worried about it as a Ravens fan. I would say that I believe Pittsburgh got the better of the deal with your Bears. I think the Bears completely screwed that up. And we didn't talk to each other about it previously. It was almost instantaneous. I think you posted it on Twitter that the move was being made, and I text you. I said to the effect of, "What the hell is Chicago doing?
Terrible, terrible."
You were talking about a guy that's they personally screwed themselves, the Bear organization, out of a second round pick, in my opinion, at one point in time, right?
Absolutely, and it wasn't. It's not like that long ago. We're talking a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, right. Now you get a six.
Yeah.
Maybe a four, right?
Before the Sam Darnolds of the world started and all that, and started a $100 million contract and all that, yeah.
No, I'm not. For me right now, I'm not worried about it. But we'll see how it goes.
What about the baseball? You want to throw some baseball out there?
It's more of a joke.
Oh, okay.
More of a joke.
So no.
If you want to just finish up on football real quick, you know, how's this? You've seen most of the free agents go here. Who made out? What's the team that stands out to you as making out in this postseason? Anybody? Did anybody really move the needle here? Or are we talking about the same teams coming back next year?
I think the Bears moved the needle.
They did well. Yes, they did well.
DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, very, very, very well.
Who's the quarterback, though? Caleb Williams, right?
That's my problem.
Yeah.
But you can't evaluate on what you personally think. They're going to have the number one pick in the draft in a quarterback. They're going to add in, you know, the number 8th pick. They own that too. So they're getting a 1 and 8. They added Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift.
Right.
And they got an offensive lineman. Absolutely great. Bills got crushed. Bills' whole team is gone. The whole defense is gone. Bills lost massively. Bears won. Bills lost. Other winners, when you're looking around and you're going, okay, I think not so much free agency, but I think Cincinnati was a winner because they were able to keep T. Higgins. If they do, you wind up keeping him. I think Houston is a winner. I don't like the guy as a guy, but Joe Mixon is the guy there now. I kind of like that. They wound up keeping Dalton Schultz, who I think is a good player. And Dallas is a huge loser. I think Dallas was a big loser. And I'll tell you, under radar team, at 200 of the radar teams that no one's talking about, Giants made a lot of shrewd moves. A lot of shrewd moves. Saquon Barkley is going to be what everyone's talking about. Oh, Barkley's out of town. But they made a lot of good moves. Offensive line, defensive line, you know, they got some big-time players there. And Washington brought in a bunch of, like, 50-year-old dudes, but they're all really good players if their age doesn't get to them. You know, they brought in the Bobby Wagners of the world, and it's going to be an interesting situation in Washington and New York, because I think New York made really good moves, really, really, really smart moves, but they're still missing pieces, and I think Washington's going, we're getting a rookie quarterback, and we are surrounding him with old men. Who knows what's going to happen?
That's what I was going to say. The key variable is the quarterback position. So you're banking on a rookie in Washington, and you're banking on Daniel Jones, right, in New York.
But it doesn't mean that they had a bad offseason. What I mean? That's the thing. Washington, I worry about because they went so old. But the Giants got positions. The Giants got positions that they absolutely needed. They needed those two big line positions. They got a more defensive guy. I mean, they're going to be ridiculous on defense.
Are these moves, though, Super Bowl winning? No. Right? Can't do it. So the teams that are always in this mix, the Kansas Cities, the San Franciscos, Baltimore.
Yep.
Baltimore did
fantastic. Right. Baltimore had a great offseason.
That's a game changer if he's healthy, Derrick Henry.
Yes.
And I know you sent me a list via the X of all the offseason losses the Ravens accumulated, right? And guys that are going to division rivals, which makes my stomach turn that you know, that's the way it is nowadays. But sometimes one guy, because they can feel that what Eric DaCosta does well every year, right, Tom, is they sign these guys, veterans, to come in and shore up that defense. I'm not even worried about that. Offensive line, they have two guys coming back. The center, Lindenbaum, and Ronnie Stanley, they're going to have to find other pieces. But they'll do it. They always do it. A healthy Derrick Henry gives them something they've never had, and that's a game-changing running back.
And I'll tell you also, you know, now that I'm thinking about, look, Atlanta, obviously, with Kirk Cousins, is a huge upgrade. But it wasn't free agents that they went out and got. I love what Tampa Bay did. And that is just keeping their own.
Keep it.
Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield, those are good additions.
Run it back.
Even though they didn't need to make necessarily addition. They were a top five defense at the end of the year last year. People forget about that. They're all coming back. They wound up keeping Levante David as well. Yeah. They're bringing back a top five defense. They're going to be adding offensive linemen and getting healthy. They're bringing everybody back. Same coaching, same everything. Underrated move because you're not looking at the free agent tracker because they just went to the same team. You know, but Tampa Bay did really well.
In closing, Major League Baseball, hashtag MLB, right, Tom?
Yes.
Games start this week in Korea, LA, San Diego. I already told you how ridiculous that was on a past show. And then 2 weeks away from opening day, I think it's the 28th or something.
But they gotta, you know, adhere to Ohtani.
Of course.
Who, by the way,
is not Korean. So I get it. Here's my thing, though. Montgomery, Snell, JD Martinez, still not signed, Tom. What are we doing here, man? Garrett Cole's out till at least end of May, early June, right?
Yes.
Probably a little longer. Why isn't Blake Snell wearing a Yankees jersey right now? That would have been an easy just move. Hey, bring him in now because we need him.
Because Boris. Boris is just impossible to deal with. I've talked to people in front offices for years that they don't even want to answer the phone with him because he's just impossible to deal with. I'm hearing now all the way down, Blake Snell's now asking for like a 2-year contract for like $66 million. I mean, it, you know, what about your Angels? Why are your Angels
well,
all
we
over?
We know why that. Artie Moreno is an idiot.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. The strong rumor now is Houston.
Yeah.
And that's not what either one of us want.
Houston's going to grab Snell.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a scramble for Montgomery, and someone's going to overpay Montgomery. That's what Boris wants. You know,
if you're a client, though, right? If you're Blake Snell, aren't you like, Scott, you better sign me somewhere.
He would have been fired immediately, you know? And it's a good thing they are pitchers because they could ramp up and only miss, what, two starts or something like that, three starts.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that they're pitchers, and Blake Snell basically doesn't pitch games anyway. He pitches innings.
He gets about five innings.
Glorified opener.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is Boris malpractice.
Well, it's been fun, Tom. A long time coming. Actually do show live in person, hang out. But let's talk about your baby, TomBartonSports.com, as we get out of here. This is, look, you came to town hanging out, made money while you're from the hotel room, man. Watching courtside, making money on games. That's just what you do, man. That's
making a lot of money, guys. TomBartonSports.com just had a fantastic, fantastic week. Hit the Brown money line, Brown plus 11. Covered in overtime, an 11-point spread that we were at the game and hit it with the 12. Hit Brown again today, plus the 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an absolutely fantastic weekend, and it's going to be even bigger next weekend. Guys, check it out, TomBartonSports.com. Go check it out. I'm not a salesman. I'm not this guy that's going to tell you I'm going to hit 100%. I'm going to make you money. Sign up for 30 days. You're going to get the entire tournament at TomBartonSports.com.
Tommy, what do we got to do to get you out here within a closer window? Rather.
Opening day NFL?
I was thinking that.
I can make that work.
I was thinking that because we were looking at a remote. So,
yeah, that you know. Is where I'm targeting. Opening day NFL makes a lot of sense.
Angel loves the remotes, by the way. So he's hanging out, getting that.
We get
free
food?
We get that comp meal, you know? Angel does a great job for us, and like I said, it's fun to do it in person, Tommy.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I was here every weekend. Yeah. Anytime they want to start paying me.
That's it. Abby, we're moving.